well, and desire your prayers. I sure appreciate you all letting us come back again. Before we left on this last trip, I'll have to be honest with you, it was a little of a struggle for me. Fall up in the West Virginia mountains is my favorite time of year, and fall was coming on, and we had been gone a lot of the year, and part of me just wanted to stay up there and see the leaves turn. And I ended up telling my wife, you know, I'm going to have to reconsecrate myself to this. And I did. I told the Lord that, well, my wife made a comment to me. She said, you know, honey, the only reason that you can enjoy any of this anyway is because of the Lord. And I said, you're right. You're right. If I wasn't saved, it's hard to tell where my mind would be and what I'd be doing. So I said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Be glad to do it. But it doesn't mean that my mind don't go back there sometimes. And I called home the other day, and snowshoe got 9 inches of snow the other night. Said you could see the snow on the mountains from Green Bank up on top. And so I was kind of thinking about what it would be like to be at home. One of the things that would be going on at home if we were there is that my wife likes to make bread. And for years now, she's been making all of our bread. She makes it. We make sandwiches out of it and all that. And many times I've come in, out of the weather, cold, snowy, been out side all day, come back in and smell the aroma of fresh baked bread and walk into the kitchen, and a lot of times there'll be 2 golden brown loaves of bread sitting there already buttered over them, and they're sitting there to cool. And I like to come and slice the end one off of one of them and put a lot more butter on it, and that's just real good. It's very appetizing. It's a sensation of home, of comfort, and of good things. And you know, it takes something to make bread like that. I want to read a scripture. It's in Matthew, the 13th chapter. One verse, 33rd verse, says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I like that scripture. Not a lot of description to it, just one little verse. And talking about the kingdom of heaven. It said it's like leaven that you put into, that a woman took. I think everything in the Bible has meaning to it in one way or the other, whether we understand it to its depth or not. But a woman took it and put it in 3 measures of meal. I don't know what all that means, but I do know this. I don't, leaven put into just some unmilled corn wouldn't do anything. You could take leaven and put it into a barrel of wheat, for instance, it wasn't ground. It wouldn't do anything. There has to be some preparations. There has to be something happens in the process first. She puts it goes into the meal. The meal being our hearts. The meal being something that, in order for this process to work, and I hope tonight that we're all interested in the process working, I think that's what we would be here for, is that the process of the kingdom would work in our lives. Then it has to have, there's some dynamics that make it work. You put it into the meal, not the grains, not something that's not been worked with, or nothing that's been ground and processed and worked with, but it's put into meal. Something that's soft, flour. Flour is ground and made into, it's fluffy, it's soft, it's workable. You can do something with it. It gives the yeast, the quality of the yeast, something to work with. And so he didn't just put it in some grain out there, do something like that. It wouldn't work. But the scripture says that he took it and put it in to the meal. And that's much like our hearts. In order for the Lord to be able to do something with us, we're going to have to be soft, honest. We're going to have to be pliable to what God wants in our lives. I know there's thought out there that God does all this and just does it. I don't believe it. It hadn't happened that way in my life. I don't read the scriptures that way either. But I think that there's an agreement, a covenant between us and God. There has to be on our part a willingness for these things to happen. We have to be willingness, have a willingness in our heart for God's traits to be in us. We have to have an open heart, a receiving heart, a heart that's going to say, yes, Lord. You want to be like in your life, like that bread that I know not everybody likes bread. That's all right with me. But not everybody likes the gospel either, so still a good analogy. But to me, it's a very appealing. And I'm going to tell you something. In our days of pizza and lasagnas and all the spices and all that, probably just the idea of bread maybe is a little bit not really that appealing, maybe. But I'm going to tell you, in the day that food was important and it wasn't all this other stuff, that bread was it. That bread was it. So like the analogy, you want to be that in your life? It's appealing. It's inviting. It's warm. It's what people need and desire if they want something good in their life. And God wants us to be like that. And so he makes it like this. That in a biblical sense, a woman represents the weakness, the weaker vessel. In weakness it's put there. It's not overpowering. It isn't forced on you. It isn't made to do that. But it's done by a soft influence. It's not jammed down anybody's throat, but it's done with an ease. It's brought. And you can say, I don't want anything to do with that at all. And then that's what you'll have, nothing at all. But in a willingness to say, I want the characteristics in my life. I want people to get something out of my life. It's what Jesus done. He gave himself for a cause. Our cause. For us. I find him very appealing. I find him very tasteful. I find him very desirous. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. Now, leaven has a particular working where it can work. Where it can't work, it don't. But it has a particular working. It works slow. It works slow. The idea is that this gospel is presented. It's put in there. In a small bit, it's put in there. And its idea, it even says it's hid in there. That's an interesting thought too. It's hid. It's hid in the sense that it's unnoticeable almost. It's not, it's seldom explosive. It doesn't work like that, but it works when somebody's heart gets to the place that they need something soft and pliable, humble, broken and contrite, then it's placed there. And then it begins, and leaven works this way. It begins to work. It begins to work. Now, I've noticed my wife has been successful in making bread that we like. We really like it. But, and so this isn't a reflection on her bread making. But there's been times that something goes wrong in the process. And she'll say, I don't know, it just didn't rise. And it'll come up a little ways and that'll be it. And when she puts it in the oven, wherever it's at, that's where it stays. It's put in there and that's it. That's the end of the process. Sometimes the process gets hindered. I don't know, sometimes it may be the influences that's around it. It may be too cold, maybe not warm enough for it to work the way it's supposed to. And when it's like that, it doesn't work right. Oh, it's got a little bit of working in it, but it don't work really right. Aren't you interested tonight in being something that works right? Lord, help us to and there's nothing wrong with the leaven that he's talking about here. It's a pure strain. It works fine. The only hindrance is what we allow to hinder. And it's really up to us. But what it does is, the scripture says, it goes and it leavens. It leavens. It's a process, a growing, working process. And it leavens and works until the whole lump, all the way through, is leavened. The whole thing becomes the gospel. Now, I want to tell you, that's a real challenge to me. Because the whole lump becomes the gospel. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Is your life a life that represents the gospel? And you may say, yes, at times. Yeah, I'll stand up and testify for the Lord. That's leavening. It's got there. It's got there. Something's happened. But I'm interested, the Lord kind of placed this on my heart, about being a full-time Christian. Living a life that the gospel has got to all the areas of your life. And no matter where it's examined, that gospel influence has touched that part of your life. So that when somebody comes along in that time of being hungry, that time of need, I think there's a lot more people out there looking than you think there is. I run on to people a lot of times. I run on to people, and a lot of times it's not what I expected out of the people that I see it out of. And all of a sudden, maybe for years, they seem not interested at all, or they seem aloof, or they didn't seem like they really wanted anything valuable. And then all of a sudden, it seems like God dealing with them, they start getting really serious about their souls. And then I start thinking, what have they seen out of me? When I didn't think they was interested. When they've put it aside and now we're just out there as buddies. I have certain roles that I feel. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a preacher. I'm also part of congregations. I said, over those kind of things. We do these all. I'm a neighbor. I'm a friend. I have these different roles that I have in my life. And the Lord's interested in leavening those. He's interested in when the neighbor comes around, he sees the gospel. He's interested in, and here, Lord help us, I've always heard this. If you want to really know what a man's like, ask his wife. If you want to know what a wife's like, ask his husband, or ask her husband. You want to know what the children's like? You can ask mom and dad, if they'd be willing to tell you. That's pretty close. You want to know what mom and dad's like? Ask the children. It's pretty close at home. But you know the Lord wants that leavened. He wants the gospel influence in the tight areas. He wants that to be the place in there. It's easier to be public many times. Lord wants us to have it in our hearts leavened in there until it works in the private. Not because we make it up, not because we have to act it up or do anything like that, but because it becomes a part of who we are. We're living for Christ. Christ becomes my value. He becomes what I want to be. I look at him as my hero. He's my God. He's the one I want to pattern my life after. So I want to walk like he walks. Talk like he talks. I want to act like he acts. I want to present myself in the close places like the Lord presented himself in the close places. I don't believe Jesus was ever anything but Jesus. I don't think he had to put on a show out there when he was with the Pharisees and put on another one when he was with his disciples in public or in private. He was Jesus. And he was Jesus all the time. Because he was the essence of what's put in us. And what the Lord wants to get out of us is the same thing that's put into us, what the Lord puts in. So the scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leaven. Remember years ago working on a job, and I had a guy worked with me that was quite a trial to me. And for a year and a half, probably, I despised working with the guy. I just despised working with him. He wasn't a good worker. He fooled around. He done all that. Couldn't get jobs done. And I did not despise him as a person. He was likable enough. I just didn't want to work with him. And I'd go to work sometime, and the boss would say he was going to send me a certain crew, and I'd say, good, he's not going to be there today. And there'd be times I'd look, and I'd see the crew coming, and I'd be like, no, no, it can't be, not today. Here he was again and again. And finally, after a lot of this, he told me one day, he said, I'm quitting. I'm going to go do another job. I'm going to get into trucking or something. And you know, when he did, I'll have to say, I went home that day kind of down. And I went and told the Lord, Lord, could you allow him to stay long enough for me to get victory over him and then let him go? Because, Lord, if you don't, I'm never going to know. I want to know. I want to be able to testify that there's grace for this guy in my life. I want to know that I can get the victory, and if he leaves just suddenly, I will always wonder about that place. That I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was leavened like the Lord wanted it to be leavened. He wanted that. And see, folks, leaven is, it just does what it does. But what hinders it from doing what it does is when there's something that breaks the process. If it gets too cold, too hot, if something breaks the process, too dry. Do you know dryness? Leaven won't work in dryness. It needs to be moist. There needs to be wetness there. There needs to be warmth there. And a certain temperature, it really works well. And when that system's broke, the leaven don't work. And I'll be honest with you, he got on my nerves. And so I broke the system right there. It was all about my willingness. And when I got to the point that I said, Lord, I'm willing. I want this in my experience. I want to be like you in this. And I've got to have the victory on it. The Lord did that for me. He allowed him to stay long enough. And he gave me, and I got to work with him a whole lot. And the Lord blessed me until, I'll be honest with you, I made a great friend out of him. I made a great friend. And when after he was gone, and sometime later, he stopped at my house to see me. And he lived on nearly on the other part of the side of the state. And he come by and seen me. And when he got married, he actually called me and invited me personally to come to his wedding, in which I went. And I was the only one of the whole guys around there that worked with him that went. The Lord blessed me. And therein that I can testify to you that the leaven got there. And I was able to take what was I considered a bad situation, and the Lord blessed it until he leavened it and made it into something. And it ain't me. But he made something that I'd be glad to be seen. I would be glad for somebody to walk in and smell the aroma of it. I would be glad for somebody to say, I want a piece of that. That right there would be good to have in your life. And what breaks it down over and over, folks, is the willingness that you and I have to submit ourselves to the workings of God, the will of God, to accomplish these things in our life. There's where the breakdown of the leaven is created. That's what happens to the leavening process, is when we get to a place and we say, I will not go any farther than that. And God is trying to do something in your life and create something that people want, people would be glad to have. And I'm going to tell you, it's not a pleasant process all the time. You have to grind that flour. You have to get it fine to get it to work right. It takes some working sometimes. It takes some real humiliation sometimes. And I'm saying a difference between us being humble and humiliation, because sometimes you get humiliated and you're humble. And you say, that's God. That's God working with me. Lord, I'll do it. What is it, the scripture in Isaiah 1, I think about 19, that says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient, God's able to work in your life and make something that people would want that are hungry. Something that is appealing and satisfying. I've had several places in my life like that where I just thank God that the leaven already got there. We had a time, one time, that we was under a great attack of the devil. One of our children was deathly sick, at least in our minds, and was going along on the highway, ended up being even persecuted more by people that didn't appreciate the stand we was taking on it. I'm glad the leaven was already there. I'm glad that the response in our heart was nothing more than, God, mighty God, have your way in our lives, a submission. Well, Lord, here we are. There's nothing we can do. We could have bucked, we could have kicked, we could have done a lot of things, we could have been embittered, but we done none of the above. But we bowed down and asked the Lord to help us and help them, and there was nothing bitter came out of it. I thank God that the leaven had already got there in my life. You know, the Lord wants to get the leaven there in your life too. And this is why. Because these things happen. Persecutions happen. And do you know what they do? A lot of times they're the sealing process. A lot of times that persecution, that trouble, that very hard trial that you're going through is a part of the baking. And the Lord wants us to be leavened full loaf. My wife's bread, sometime I've seen it when it didn't work right. It'd be real leavened and pretty on one side, and it'd just go down into the pan. Really nice. It worked real good on one side. I don't know what causes it. And you can eat that thing pretty good and fluffy, make a good sandwich once you get the other end. Solid. So not much to it. I want to tell you, the Lord wants a full loaf. And it goes into the fire. When that bread goes into the fire and goes in there and it seals it, that's what it's going to be. Right there, nice, get brown, whatever, put it in there. And a lot of times the trials is the baking of it. And it's securing it. And the Lord wants us to be leavened and be something that we can appeal to people with. Be like Jesus. I sure appreciate Him. I'm so glad that He was willing to do that for me. Would like to look at another scripture kind of tied in. It's in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. I'll start from the first verse. Again, I'd like to ask this question. Who are you really? Be honest tonight. Where are you really? Who are you? Have you been leavened? Have you allowed the gospel to really get there? You know, I really believe that most people know. Really down deep, they know. They know mostly what's right. Down inside, most people do. I think down inside, most people know. I know before I was saved, I wasn't right on everything, but you know, down inside me, I generally knowed what a Christian was and what they wasn't. Before I was ever saved, when I was growing up, I pretty much knew what was genuine and what wasn't. I knew what was real. I knew what, I had an idea about what God was and what He'd done. But just down in there, I've told this before, I remember a guy used to play softball on a men's league team, and there was a guy in that league that was the biggest troublemaker. He caused trouble. He was known for being a troublemaker. And then remember, he come up to I was on the outside of the fence and he was on the inside, and he walks up to me one day and he says, Marty, are you go to church? And I said, no. And he said, you better start. He turned and walked away. And I remember the anger that came up in me, and my response was, it was why? So I can be like you? Because I knew that wasn't the way that you were supposed to be. I knew that the Christian's life's higher than that. It's more nobler than that. It's more honorable than that. It lives above those kind of things. I knew that and didn't, and I hardly knew anything, but I knew that. Today you know that too. As 11 got there. I remember a Christian man one time told me, he's a very devout man. Very devout man. And he told me one day, he said, I don't mix religion and business. He was a businessman, a coal mine owner. And he said, I don't mix my religion and my business. You know, that's quite a statement, isn't it? I say, if you're in business, let the leaven go there. God wants it to go there. If you're claiming His name, it will go there. But he was saying, what he was saying to me, I'm very devout in my religion, but I'm very shrewd in business. And he broke it down between that he wouldn't let the one influence the other. I say that's a shame. That's a shame. Let it leaven your life. Let it touch all the areas of it. And if you'll be soft and pliable, God will do that until it goes into all of it. Do I really want that in my life? It's available. If you'll believe that and seek God for it, it's available. One other story, going along with a guy I worked with, and he was a youth leader and choir leader. And we was driving along one day, and he was driving. I was in the passenger seat, and we looked way up the road, kind of winded around. The river went along with it, and you could obviously see there was a bunch of girls in the water up there swimming. You could obviously see it up there. And he turns to me and says, hey, Marty, you want to stop and go swimming? And I said, it's a deep pit. Because, it leavens. It leavens. You could be driving, and you're driving along by yourself, and the devil says that, you say, that's a deep pit. It's already leavened here. It's already got here in this. It's already touched this. Lord, help us. Philippians 3 was the Apostle Paul. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Well, that's a lot of language to say that if you think you're something in the flesh or you got something to brag about, I can outbrag all of you in the flesh because I had something to brag about. That's what he was saying. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But listen. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You get a sense of yielding. You get a sense of softening. You get a sense of being pliable. A sense that Christ is my all in all. I want to be like Him. You get the sense of the Apostle Paul. You want to know why he had victory in his life? You want to know why he got to the understandings that he did? You want to know why he was able to do what he did in his life? This is the reason he got there. He yielded himself to Christ. All that he had before, everything that he could put any trust in, he says, nothing was valuable. It is worthless to me. I give it all. I lose it all. I don't care anymore. I give it all up. I'm pliable. I want to do the will of God. willing to and obedient. He was willing to humble down, willing to be pliable. And the gospel was placed there in an instant. In a time, the Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He got the essence. He got the leaven in his life. And then it started growing. And it went to all the different areas, didn't it? There was those that thought the Gentiles still should be left out. But Paul got the leavening effect and knew what it was all about, you see. He got the understanding in there. Oh, he said it was all loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. Oh, I'm going to tell you, he brought himself down, didn't he? And the Lord started working. I believe every time then in that life, every time someone come up and got a hold of Paul and got them a big old chunk, they got Christ. They got the gospel when they did. When they whipped him, I do not believe that he stood there and cursed them. I believe when they whipped him, they got a good piece of the gospel. They saw the gospel in action when they whipped him. When they come up and debated against Paul, I believe they got a good chunk of the gospel. I believe when people looked on him being persecuted, when they looked on his troubles, when they looked on his afflictions, when they looked on him being in that ship and wrecked, when those guys looked on him, I believe all the way through, wherever people touched him, they touched the gospel. Because it had leavened. He had yielded himself pliable meal to be baked into a loaf. God wants to finish this process, folks. Did Jesus not say himself, I am the bread of life? He was the loaf baked. He was that which was appealing, life-sustaining. It was substance to us. And now he's gone, but he leaves us representatives, every one of us, to be made into the same product that he was when he was here in this life. Paul followed the footsteps. He said, willing to suffer for his sake. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, by the righteousness which of God by faith. Listen, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. These are powerful words. Listen to what a man would be willing to say, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Really? Really? That's a big statement. You know what they did with him? They called him the devil. They called him Beelzebub. They called him a fraud. They called him a phony. They whipped him, they spat upon him, put a crown on his head, thorns on his head. They drove nails in his hands. They put him on a cross. They put titles over his head. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. And Paul says that he might fellowship his sufferings. I want to know him. I want to know him. He said, I'm pliable meal, Lord. Put the gospel in there. What is it going to do? Probably follow the same growing path that the Lord did. He said, I am the bread of life. That bread of life lives in us if we're saved and living for the Lord. We have become too a part of that bread of life. Part that the yeast, the leaven was put into. Now we grow up to the same thing that people looking on may never see the Lord, but they'll see us. Lord, help us to have that kind of life in the Lord. It's amazing what the Lord can help you do with people. I had an incident not long ago, sometime, but where one of my neighbors got mad at me. Well, it's happened more than once, but this neighbor was mad at me. So I felt like the Lord helped me to know what to do. Oh, I had a little push mower there, and my neighbor has quite a big lawn there. I really was heartbroken. I liked her. She was mad at me. Went over one day and knocked on the door, and she come to the door. And I said, I'd like to ask a favor of you. What? And I said, well, I've got this push mower, and I really need exercise. And I noticed your yard's needing mowed. Smile come on her face, and she said, you just have at it. You know, something started happening. Something started happening. And the 11 was working. And it made a beautiful picture. We have great friends right there. We have great neighbors. Great neighbors right there. It was the 11 that done it. God working in it. Lord, help us to look, folks, look beyond the faults, the problems of people. It's nothing more than just coarse meal is all it is, folks. It just people's lives is like just old coarse grain that the Lord can't put the leaven in. He won't leaven in it. And it's part of our job to help break it down, make it look and see something that's appealing to say, maybe my life can be like that too. We don't take no credit for any of it, but it's the Lord that does it. Paul seemed so willing to do it when he made those words, that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. I find that life is a lot of just small things. Brother Tony taught us a lot up home, that most of life is just the simple things. Living for God mostly is about living for Him day by day. No great big thing happened maybe in your life today or tomorrow. I find the bigger things that take me to the Lord in a lot of ways are easier. We live day by day. You're going to have to, the idea is to be faithful to the Lord. Be what I'm supposed to be today. There's an accumulative effect in life. We look sometimes and people despise us. Live faithful and the same people that despise, next week will be praising you. I've had it happen a lot in my life. God gives opportunity. Somebody looks and says, oh, they're a bunch of weirdos. The Lord makes the place to where you can step in and help them, and just now, you're just a great person. We've been ridiculed as being way out there. And then recently somebody said something to a woman up there, said them's the best people in the world, talking about my family, me and my wife, my children, said them's the best people in the world. Well, that feels better. But next week they might say something different. I find that it's about being faithful in life. And you know what the Lord desire for us to be? Is to be faithful. Is to be that willing vessel to be made into something that's appealing, that is appetizing, that can be desired of life. Be there ready to be pinched on, to be sliced on, to be taken something from. Be there ready for that in people's lives. To be there ready. Don't even expect it. It happens without notice. But to be ready to live life like that. Let be willing that the gospel will work in every area. Through good times and bad. It's easy to think somebody's going to be up and cheerful when everything's good. But then when somebody looks and things seem to be going wrong and they look and say, what's this about? There it still is. It still looks the same. It hadn't changed from when everything seemed to be going right. Now everything seems to be going wrong. And guess what? That loaf of bread's still the same. It don't change with those kind of things. Why? Because it's part of the leavening. It's already happened. And it doesn't matter. God's still God, and that's who we trust in. That's who leavens us. That's what we. That's what our life's about. We're here. God wants us to be here to be an example for people, to be ready to give to them, to be able to look above just these things that happen in our lives to see a purpose in it. Is somebody possibly watching these trials in my life? Is somebody possibly taking note or looking and watching that maybe I'm going through this and may say, how's he going to do it? How's he going to go through it? Lord, help us. I was out working on my car one day, and I don't know why I did it, but it was something on a car. It was a clamp, I think, best I remember. And I had that holding my hand. Like I had a flat screwdriver, and I was doing something with that clamp, and it was rusty, and I was trying to pop that clamp loose, and that screwdriver went right in under my middle finger and come out the back side, left the fingernail on the sides, but popped it out on the back. It went right in under there. And that hurt. And hollered and grabbed my finger and jumped around there a couple times. And then I thought, I wonder who's watching. I turned around to look. I hope that don't look too bad. That's the way life works. No, I know things is going to hurt and that kind of stuff. But you know, if I'd have let fly with that screwdriver and threw it across there and threw the hammer and kicked the wheel and all that, I got neighbors all the way around looking. Yeah, you can be on top of the mountain. Everything's going well and things working easy. But you know what? God wants it to look the same when it ain't all going right. Because that's what people's looking to say, I need help. I'm going to need to know how to go through this disease that I'm faced with. I need to know how to do it. And I don't know how to do it. But I've seen somebody do it. I've seen somebody that had such grace in their heart. I've seen somebody that had so much victory. And I'll just tell you. My grandmother passed away the year I got saved. And my grandmother loved the Lord. And she told me, she said, her expression was, Marty, I'm tired. I want to go home. And she was resigned herself that she was going to be with Jesus. And that was the best thing that could happen to her. And she had such grace in her life that when she died, I remember marking that in my heart and saying, I want to be able to die like Grandma died. I've seen people kick and stomp and fight and resist and all that. And my grandmother said, I want to be with Jesus. And she just had a heart willing to just submit. If it's my time, I want to go be with Jesus. Oh, I'm tired. I'm tired and I want to go home. And I said, that's victory. That's victory. I want to be able to have that in my heart. So when I want to say, I think my grandmother was a well-baked loaf to my life, that I was willing to take part of what she had and say, I want that for mine. I want that for mine. Because it's valuable. Such peace. Such peace. To look and say to somebody that's in a difficult situation no one would blame them for being bitter, and they're forgiving. And you look and say, how can they do that? How do they do that? See, the gospel's worked. The leavening's worked. Christ has worked in their lives. And then you say, I want that. Maybe not everybody likes bread. I like it. And when I see something like that, and I know what it feels like to have bitterness in your heart, I don't want that. I want a victory over it. I want to be able to get something more than I have. You know, we're that example. Lord, help us tonight. From the post office to the Walmart, in your own home and families, in-laws. I'll even say, not everybody agrees with me on this, but you know telemarketers have souls. I know, I'm not talking about these robocalls. I'm talking about real telemarketers. You'd be surprised, there's people. You know, they have souls. I've actually talked with them. I know they can communicate and everything. Do you know there's a good place right there to be able to talk to a soul? I know that I'm not criticizing anybody for being busy at supper time and hanging up on them, but I'm just telling you, I've been able to talk to them and have some real good conversations with them, and them seem to appreciate it too. So Lord, help us to be able to be that example for what Jesus wants. And just in closing, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman takes and places in 3 measures of meal until the whole thing is leavened. The Lord wants to leaven our life all the way down to the very words we speak. And the very attitudes of our heart comes out as leaven. It comes out as Christ. You pray for me.